Blog Talk Radio. Another episode of Womanist Views. Womanist Views is happy to be sitting down with author, pop culture critic, champion entrepreneurship and self-empowerment, and trailblazing blogger, Lakeisha Watson Moore of Bougie Black Girl, and also CEO of BBG Media Group. Bougie Black Girl, the website that is unapologetically focused, is on Black women and issues that impact their lives. And the website was the winner of the 2014 Best Business Blog Award. We're going to be sitting down with Lakeisha to discuss the intersectional issues of racism, sexism, colorism, and so much more, as well as movement towards empowerment and being sure that we are sharing and documenting our stories as women, and particularly Black women, on this month's is Women's History Month, and we are going to get right into it.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. Are you on the line with us, Lakeisha?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Okay, great. Thank you. We had so many people on, so we're trying to identify your number because we're trying to go back and say, which line is she calling in on? But I'm glad we got the right one on the right here and that you were able to connect with us. And we're thankful for all the others that are on hold and listening to the show. So let's just go ahead and dive right in.
Awesome.
Right. So my first question is, how did you come up and decide about this name, Bougie Black Girl? I came across your blog some time ago, so I've been a follower. I'll go ahead and put that disclaimer out there. But the name is the first thing that caught my eye. So if you can give us a little backstory on that.
Well, everybody knows Bougie is it's slang for bourgeoisie. And basically, it was a nickname my sister gave me. She said, "You're so bougie." And I was like, you know what? That sounds like a good name. And that's when I ran with it. I was like, okay, I might as well use it. A lot of people say, you're not bougie, but my sister and my family members think I am. So I just thought it would be a perfect thing. It was just a name that she made up, and I thank her for it.
Wonderful. And they should be the ones who know you well enough to give you these nicknames, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, my twin, she's honest. She doesn't lie to me. She tells me the truth.
We need those people in our lives. So What I do like and notice about your website is that it's unapologetic about the focus of the website being Black women. I think a lot of times people don't want to be downright out about who they're focusing on, or they don't want to be called out for being exclusive of certain groups. What made you decide to take that stand and feel that it's important to have this focus for your website?
Well, for me, my blog started, I believe, in 2012, and that was during the whole Trayvon Martin situation. And what I noticed was, during that time, Rekia Boyd was also shot. She was murdered by a Chicago police officer while standing outside with a friend. And I realized that her case wasn't receiving attention, but Trayvon Martin's case was. And then I realized that, I wondered, what's the difference? All outrage should be the same. So I decided that since everybody else is paying attention to pretty much is Black men's focus, if you want to be honest, I'm going to create a place for Black women. And that's what I did.
Interesting point, because you just mentioning that name, I'm pretty sure there's some people listening now that probably still won't even know who you are talking about, what that incident even involves, because as you pointed out, she doesn't get that type of coverage. The stories that happen to Black women are not really known to others, so we're not household names in that respect, as you are pointing out here when it comes to that. You see Trayvon Martin, and everyone knows who you're speaking about quickly. So what type of other specific issues do you tend to cover on the website for those who are now having their introduction to Bougie Black Girl?
Well, my main focus and my background is in business. And so a lot of my interest is in people success and people building their own brands and creating their own businesses. I believe in self-reliance and self-independence. And so I think the government can't help us. I think about all the things that black people and black women specifically have gone through with it. So that's my main focus, is for black women to create some sort of wealth, some sort of stream of income, create their own businesses, again, self-reliance, self-independence, things like that. That would be my that's my kind of sphere. That's my kind of thing. A lot of the I'm a big fan of the black women empowerment movement, and so a lot of it is like relationship focus. I'm not a relationship guru at all when it comes to relationships. I've been married. Yeah, I tell people I've been married for 12 years, but I still don't know what's going on. So my focus, again, because of my background, and I worked in economic development for over 7 years, my background is in business.
Wonderful. Are there any topics out there that you just outright refuse to write about or even discuss?
Anything with the Middle East, anything with geopolitical politics overseas in the Middle East, yeah, because that to me, I tried to dip my hands in that, and I ended up receiving death threats. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, when it comes to certain things, I just stay away from that. A lot of people know that I'm an atheist, so I talk about religion, but I don't talk about it in a disparaging way that you would see the stereotypical atheist on television talking about. The only reason why they do that is because they want to sell books. But other than that, those are the topics I try to stay away from. Now, if you ask me about it, I'll definitely answer. But other than that, I try to stay away from it.
Wow. I'm so taken aback at the death threats, because I'm like, my goodness. I guess that talks about or speaks to the fact that with these websites and with the open, you know, having net neutrality and having this open access, is that you're getting this information out there. And it's in a way, it's touching people in places that are so far away, so far-fledged. And in a way, I think having a website like yours is a positive for that, because then you're bringing a whole different light for what people usually get to see and hear about black women. So, I mean, I'm trying to flip that negative into something positive. I don't know how positive you can turn a death threat into, but...
I tell this to other women that ask me about blogging. It comes when you have a different opinion, when you have a different perspective, and you put yourself out there. It comes with the territory. There's no day I can't imagine going on social media and I'm not called the N word. I'm not called the B word. It all comes with it. And what you have to do, and what I learned to do, is I never take it personally, because I know those people and that opinion comes from a place of insecurity. They're just projecting their insecurities onto me. So for me, it's not a bother, but for some people, it might be tough to deal with. But when you're initially blogging, when you're initially out there, it's going to happen.
Good warning signs for everyone to heed, because I think everyone thinks a blog is fun in a way, and I guess there are some blogs that do take a stand where it's focused, like you said, on relationships, but even that can open up boxes.
Oh yeah.
I've seen that with those Black Women Empowerment blogs. That can also be problematic for them, so.
Yes. Oh, yes, they get it. I think they get it worse because relationships are so personal, you know, whereas I'm, like, talking about, if I talk about anything, it'll be about business and, you know, entrepreneurship and things like that. But for them, you know, when you're talking about what women want to do with their, black women specifically want to do with their lives, you know, in relationship-wise or having children, deciding not to have children or dating whoever they want to date, you know, that's when you see some of the most vile things.
So earlier we touched on this a little bit, but I wanted to kind of return to this topic, because now you're seeing so much movement behind the Black Lives Matters protest and that were actually started by three queer black women. And I think that always falls on deaf ears, or people were just really not knowing how the whole movement started, who pushed for these things. Yet, again, as you have pointed out in the black community, it still seems that the focus on even the Black Lives Matter movement has kind of been hijacked to mean black male lives matter in that respect, not women or not people, certainly not the LGBT people in our communities. So I don't know if you wanted to elaborate more on your thoughts on this, or what have you been observing when watching that whole movement unfold?
For me personally, I wasn't surprised that it was black male orientated, because throughout black American history, every organization has pretty much been about the protection of black men. It's always been that way. It's a tradition. It seems like a tradition in a black American community. And so for me, it wasn't a surprise. But what I ended up doing was, and, you know, some people disagreed with what I did, I ended up creating a whole blog post of all the women that I know that were killed by the police. And basically, every time I would, you know, every time that topic would come up, I would retweet it over and over again. I'd try to get those people's faces out of there. I had people, organizations contact me and ask me to use the same photos, which I didn't mind. You know, so instead of me sitting there getting upset, because I was initially, I decided, you know what, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to let people know that black women deal with the police, black women deal with not only sexism, but racism too. And their lives matter just as much as black men do. And now I'm, well, you know, you're slowly starting to see that people are focusing more on black trans people's issues, especially the fact that they have a high rate of murder, you know, a high murder rate. And, you know, that's been incredibly disturbing. They've been an extremely ignored group. And I'm finally happy to see that more people are focusing on them.
Agreed. So has any of that, I guess, work that you've been doing, and even in allowing them to use that image, has it created any black backlash for you? I know with the African American Policy Forum, they have the We Can't Wait campaign out there, and it's just saying to include young black girls in the My Brothers initiative, or change the name of the initiative. And something that simple has created a lot of backlash for them, because I guess it's looking as though you're being divisive by bringing up the fact that, hey, black women and girls exist. Have you experienced any of that?
Oh, yes. I get that all the time. I do. You know, I've been told that I'm dividing and conquering, that we should just focus on black men. They're the ones that get killed by the police. And then I show people that, no, it's not just black men. It's black women, too. And how, you know, if you're – a lot of people tell me they're pro-black. If you are pro-black, why are you ignoring over 50% of the population who happen to be black women? You know, to me, it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I think a lot of it is a lot of people just don't know that black women have been killed by the police. And until you show them, they're like, oh, I didn't even know. A lot of people didn't know about Ricky Floyd. A lot of people don't know about Ayanna. A lot of people don't know about Aura. A lot of people don't know these women. They just don't know.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is our fault, you know. And I said, you know what, I can't complain. I can't yell at the black media. I'm not worried about the white media. I can't complain about that. I might as well get off my behind and do something about it and just let people know. I'm good at gathering information, so I put the blog up and let people see, you know, that black women are victimized by the police.
I like that, taking action and initiative there. So in talking about initiatives and bringing up that word, let me go back to what I just said about the My Brother's Keeper initiative. That was put out by President Obama last year. What were your thoughts about it when you initially heard it, knowing the type of work that you've been doing with the website and the information sharing that you've been doing? What was your initial response when you did hear about that initiative?
I think that there's a myth out there that black women are doing well, so you don't need to pay attention to us. When if you see statistic after statistic that black girls are suspended at a higher rate than anybody else besides black boys from school, that young black over 60% of all black girls under the age of 18 have been sexually abused, things like that, people just don't know. And I think the Obama administration just didn't know, and it wasn't a priority, because honestly, it's not a priority in the black community. You know, he only does what we can tell him to do. And that was the biggest issue. I just think people just don't know. People just don't know. And then there's a culture of strong black womanhood. And, you know, being a strong black woman means you're quiet and you hold those problems in. You don't let anybody know what you're going through. You don't know people know your issues. And then we pass that on to our daughters and they feel the same way. So they're ignored. And it's that cycle. It happens. It's like generation after generation after generation. And then we're left wondering, what happened? Why do we ignore, you know, these girls? Why are girls going through these things? And so, you know, with the whole the administration, I'm glad that I saw black women actually say, you know what, we exist, we matter to some black girls, you need to do something about it. It's not just about our brothers, it's about our sisters too, it's about all of our children.
Yes, yes. So In your opinion, what will it take, because it's going to take a lot, but what steps would you say that will take in getting black women there to start making themselves a priority? Because I think a lot of times we can talk about what's wrong with the black community, but it's still 50% of that community are black women themselves putting themselves last and making ourselves not a priority. So how do we go about changing that mindset of saying you can be your brother's keeper and your sister's keeper?
We have to, you know, let young black girls and black women both know that they're worthy of love, they're worthy of protection, they're worthy of success just like everyone else. That whole "we're the backbone" thing is, you know, if I talk about that, I'll make people mad about that, but that whole backbone idea basically is putting yourself behind someone else, and you are entitled. You are entitled to be in front. You are not to blame for all the black community's ills. You are not the sole provider of the solution. You are an individual, just like everybody else, and you are entitled to succeed just like everybody else. You know, it's a mindset. It's changing your mind. We have to remember we're dealing with 400 years of people telling us that we're maid mammies. Maid mammies and somebody else's nursemaid, you know? So it starts with that. We have to just admit that we're worthy of what everybody else has. And, you know, that's where it starts. It's a mindset.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit, and let's talk about your recently opened forum on your website, Bougie Black Girl. Could you explain your reasons for starting this forum and how people can join these discussions on the forum?
Well, I wanted to create a safe space owned and operated by black women. I'm a big believer in black women, again, owning our own and having our own. What happened was, you know, every day I saw black women being called all kinds of names, humiliated, stalked. You know, I even deal with those things. And I decided, you know what, enough is enough. You know, these social media sites are doing nothing but ignoring us, you know, or sometimes they even blame the victim. If you report, you know, someone bothering you on Twitter, you might get kicked off. Or on Facebook, someone might kick you off. That happened to me where I had put a Malcolm X post. And someone had reported it, and my Facebook page was shut down. So I said, enough is enough. You know, I don't want to just be dependent on third-party forums for, you know, for them to protect me, which they won't. You know, it doesn't happen. So I decided we have to create our own. We have to create a safe space that's exclusively for black women, and that's what the forum is about. Black women can talk and do what they do, you know, and it's a sisterhood, it's a bond, and that's what I really want for black women all over the world.
Wonderful. So how do people join this forum or join these discussions that are being had?
Basically, you can go to forum.bougieblackgirl.com and sign up there. It's $9.99 a year. And the reason why it's $9.99 a year is so that we keep a certain element out, you know, people that aren't serious, trolls and things like that. They usually don't want to pay. So, you know,
not to troll.
They don't. They just don't.
And no, they got too many websites to troll, yeah.
Exactly. What troll is going to pay $9.99 a year? So I just think that would be, you know, that's why we decided to put that fee on. Other than that, you know, it's a safe space for black women to go and hang out and talk about, you know, black girl stuff. So eventually I was asked if we were going to do something for young teens and things like that. So we might just go into doing that eventually.
That would be wonderful. So also, briefly tell us about your book, Change Your Mind, Change Your Destiny. I mean, the title alone. What motivated you to write this book? And, again, tell us how we can obtain a copy of the book.
Okay, Change Your Mind, Change Your Destiny are a bunch of lessons that I learned growing up. Some people know, if you read the book, I grew up homeless. You know, I was in a horrific situation. And, you know, I was at a crossroads in my life. And it wasn't until I changed my mind and decided that someone else's limitations shouldn't be my expectations. And that's when I decided I could do anything. And that's what I put in that book. You know, it's like a step-by-step guide of building you up and letting you know that you're worthy of success, you're worthy of happiness, you're worthy of anything that you want in life. And it starts with just changing your mind.
Wonderful. So put yourself out there a lot, and it's because, again, you do not mince your words in your writing, and you dare people to think even about the controversial issues. And you should have told us how you deal with the backlashes by
pretty much not taking it personal. But I can't imagine that sometimes it still will take its toll on those, especially those entering what you're doing or getting ready to start speaking these truths. So I think in that way that makes self-care a necessity. How do you practice that self-care of your own? And is it a way that you unplug from social media from time? What strategies work for you?
Oh, what I do is I basically turn everything off. I turn everything off and, you know, I'll read a book or I play video games. I'm a big kid. I play video games or I watch sports. You know, that's what I do. I just turn it off. I walk away. And what I love to do is I love cooking in my free time. That's my self-care, cooking and giving and doing things for other people. I love to go volunteer, you know, just to get away from that. So, you know, where people don't know who you are, you know, you're just doing good. But my biggest self-care thing is just working out, exercising, kicking butt, taking names. You know, that's my thing. Everybody's different. Some people like, you know, to meditate. But me, I like to do kickboxing.
Wonderful.
So I know.
It's always interesting when I ask that question, because you really realize the different things that people do use to what brings them, I don't know, pleasure or happiness or just a feeling of euphoria. It's always very different. So I did not expect kickboxing to be coming out, but I can see how you can get all your angst out by doing that.
Yeah, I'm prior military, so that's been in me since, you know, for probably about 10 years. So I've been doing that stuff for 10 years. Yeah, so it's nothing to me. I love it. Anything that's moving and punching and whatever, I do. But that's me. Everybody's different. Some people, they like to get their hair done and their nails, and I wouldn't know what to do with my hair and my nails. But I'm serious. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd pay somebody else to fix that. I'm like, yeah, you feel free to do whatever you want to do with my hair. But
We all got our talents.
Yes, that's mine. That's mine. My mind can look like a hot mess any day. Oof. But, yeah. Yeah, but that's my thing. I disconnect, and I have a life outside of this. You know, I wouldn't make this my whole life. There was a time where I felt like I was kind of caught up in it, and I had to pull myself away. And I had to say, you know what? I have a life. I have friends. They know how I feel. Some of them disagree, and they'll come in my face and tell me, but they're polite about it. And some people, you know, they'll give me side eyes like, girl, I don't know. But other than that, you know, it is what it is. It's life. You know, people are going to disagree with you, and people are going to agree with you, and, you know, that's okay.
Wonderful. So this is, we're getting close to the close of Women's History Month. So let's talk about the Black women, or women in general, as you want to put them out there, in history that have inspired you or had you think of things a different way or motivated you in some aspect. What were those names and who would those women be?
Okay. For me, first of all, for me, the biggest group of people were the women of the Black Women Empowerment Movement. And there's so many names that I don't want to name them because I don't want anybody to get mad at me. But those women there are so amazing. I mean, they seeing them and seeing what they wrote, I'm like, I thought the same thing, and I thought something was wrong with me. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling this way. And finally, to see someone else say the same exact thing, it was so reaffirming for me. So those women, definitely. And, you know, they made it a point. People like to see the interracial dating or the relationship part, and it's not just that. It's about Black women putting our needs first. And that's what I love. I was like, yes. You know, I'm sitting at the computer, yes, yes, sister, yes, she's right. And that was my biggest thing. But for me, of course, I love Shirley Chisholm. I love Madam C.J. Walker. I love Ann Richards, Audre Lorde, Eartha Kitt, Nina Simone, Maya Angelou, my mom and sisters and my grandmas, all of those women, my great grandmas especially, because they were Black women to me, and women, because Ann Richards is not Black, but those were women that created their own paths, and they used their success to improve the lives of others, and that's what I want to do.
That's a deep way of connecting them all. It's wonderful. So in closing, let's talk about where you had this passion for writing, because it's one thing to have a business background and it's one thing to have things that you want to share, but a lot of people may step back and be like, I don't know if I can do that. I don't think I can write that well. I don't think so. Was it something that a craft that you developed on your way, or was it something innate and you always had this passion for writing, getting
the way you summarize and things, and it just, you're just on point. So explain that process that you go to when you're writing.
Well, first of all, I brainstorm. I write down everything. I mean everything type down everything that I'm thinking. I have an idea and it'll pop in my head, and I always carry down like a notepad or something with me. And if I'm at home, I just get in front of my laptop and start typing. So if you're a writer, just make sure, carry a little small notepad with you, because ideas come out of nowhere. It could be someone's comment at work. It could be, you know, walking in the street. It could be walking in the grocery store. Just things like that. Just always carry a small pen and pad, and that's what I did. And that, like I said, I always jump in front of my computer. As soon as I get an idea, I close my door. I tell my husband and kids, leave me alone. Let me write. And that's what I do. That's exactly what I do. I just sit in front of the computer and just write and let it all out. And, you know, some of this stuff I'll take out and stuff I'll keep in. But that's what I do. I just write right in front of me. If it comes to my head, it's going right on my laptop.
In closing here again, any announcements for us, any new projects we should be on the lookout for, or do we just need to watch this space when it comes to your website and see what else you have going on out there?
Well, I'm currently in the process of writing two books right now, and one is a romance thing because I love, and another one is on how to build your business online. So that's what I'm working on right now. And, of course, I still have the Change Your Mind, Change Your Destiny book that's on Amazon for $2.99.
Put it out there.
I want to keep it those prices low. All my stuff, I try to keep it a low price, because I want every Black woman, regardless of income or background, or, you know, to have the opportunity to change her life. So that's what I'm doing right now, just writing on the blog and, you know, just enjoying life.
Well, it has been wonderful having this opportunity to sit down and talk to you once again. We're speaking with Lakeisha Watson Moore, a Bougie Black Girl. If you have not been on that website, you want to go now. You don't want to miss out on the conversation. She's also on Facebook. Follow that page. You will be amazed by the writing and the conversations that the writing sparks. So, again, thank you again, Lakeisha Watson Moore, for joining us on Womanist Views.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.